Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We can presume that it's probably a small meniscus tear, and that you know, with adequate support, like the brace that he's been speculated to be able to use, that he would be able to participate with minimal symptoms unless he tweaked it the wrong way. There is some potential risk for more injury when you have a small meniscus tear. You can always make a small meniscus tear bigger, but, you know, in most cases, that's not going to happen. In most cases, the athletes will be able to participate if they can tolerate the pain and if they're able to perform their activities without having episodes where the knee is in fact giving out or buckling.
That is Dr. Jason Matuzic, Chief of Sports Medicine at Excelsior Orthopedics, on WBEN earlier this morning talking about Von Miller's knee issue. Joe, instead of your Tuesday tears, maybe you should do like Tuesday tears and just talk about the shoulders and elbows and knees of Bills players and whether or not they can make it through these injuries. So that's Jason Matuzic on Von Miller, which I think is encouraging. There's a full write-up at WBEN.com about the ability to play through it, and seems like I think I got, just in reading the rest of that conversation, some optimism out of it. So that's good.
And also being able to be productive while he's dealing with the injury.
Yep.
Not like coming back and like he's a diminished version of himself, which, you know, still could be the case, but that sounds optimistic.
We'll bring in Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal is, of course, in New England for tonight's game. He'll be on the sidelines of Gillette Stadium. Sal brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When it's time to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal, how is New England?
Well, it was very windy on the way in last night. You guys know what it was like, windy in Buffalo yesterday. And that was pretty much the entire plane ride. Very rocky plane ride. But we got here, and then it was just pouring rain pretty much all night. And now it's completely clear skies, but it is windy still. Our buddy Patrick Hammer has informed me it will be cold tonight. Temperatures hovering around freezing, but it will be dry, and the wind will die down. But it will be like maybe pregame, it's going to be pretty windy, but by the time game time comes around, he said. So we're looking at a cold, dry game tonight. That's fine. I'll take it. After some of the weather we've had, and remember last year, both times these two teams played in the regular season, or at least, you know, I'm sorry, the regular season and then the playoffs. But anyway, other than that, it's good, guys. I'm not at Gillette. I'm like, when you said Sal's joining us from Gillette, I'm like, do I have to get to the stadium right now? No, it's tonight. It's tonight's game. It's okay.
Well, you just call the Gillette studio that you're in if you want to. You know, whatever.
There you go. Absolutely.
One thing, Sal, that'll be different about tonight's game for you, I mean, maybe you keep an eye on Tre'Davious White to see how he is, but this has been a season of watching warm-ups, and is this going to be the easiest warm-up for you? Like, there are no X factors really here. We kind of know what's up.
Yeah, I think that's the case, other than I am wondering, do they – I got the indication from Sean this week that it might be too early, but do they elevate John Brown tonight? I think that's something to look for, but that's not necessarily a warm-up thing. We'll know that 90 minutes before kickoff, but it's something we could watch for, and if I see him out there running around, then I'll think about it, because I believe, guys, if I go back, I believe Tanner Gentry is out of – elevations. If they were to do that, they'd literally have to sign him to the 53-man roster, and I don't think you're doing that. So are they going to go into this game with only four healthy wide receivers? I mean, maybe. I guess they could, but the only other options, then, they have Keyshawn Johnson, not the former Jet, but they have Keyshawn Johnson as a wide receiver and Isaiah Coulter as a wide receiver on the practice squad, other than John Brown. I mean, maybe one of those guys gets elevated, but that is the thing I'd be watching for tonight. But you're right. Otherwise, No one else. I mean, Quentin Morris is questionable, but we know Deion's out. We know Von Miller's out, and you're right, Jeremy. I think that other than that, really, we're not really watching for much in warm-ups.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, let's talk about what this game means and what they could do. There's two big injuries, Deion Dawkins and Von Miller. I think Joe and I are both of the belief that the Dawkins injury is a bigger hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, I agree with that, because you're talking about the number one sack leader in the NFL on the other side, and Matthew Judon. You're talking about the team in the New England Patriots that is number two in sacks per pass attempt from getting to the quarterback. And obviously you're talking about your franchise left tackle, right? Now you have to move over. Who is it going to be? David Questenberry, I would think most likely that's what happened last week when they had to shuffle the deck a little bit. And there's a chance it could be Spencer Brown. They've done that before. They did it last year, but I think he's more entrenched on the right side, but we'll see. But that is a very big loss. Now, as I've been pointing out with Joe all week, at least here you do have the benefit of knowing all 7 days that you prepared for this game since last Thursday that is the case, right? I mean, Deion got hurt last week during the game on Thursday. So since that injury, they've had time to game plan. They've had time to figure out what they want to do. It's not like last week when they had literally one practice between games. And on top of that, he got hurt during the game. And on top of that, you were already without Mitch Morse, so Ryan Bates had to move. So I at least think that helps this team. But you're right. It's a challenge, and they're going to have a game plan to figure that out. On the other side of the ball, it's obviously a big loss not having Von Miller, but I'll flip it around. The Patriots don't protect very well. I think that you can still put some pressure on this offensive line. They haven't done a great job of protecting Mac Jones. I think they're 26th in the league in sacks per pass attempt against them. It's a team that's really more built to try and run the ball than to throw the ball. And they are banged up a little bit on their own offensive line. And now you're getting Greg Rousseau back. You're getting A.J. Epinesa back. Ed Oliver in the middle, obviously, is doing a really good job of getting pressure from the interior along with other guys. So I do think you could still generate a pass rush without Von Miller, although obviously you'd love to have him.
And on the offensive line, Sal, I just look up David Questenberry, and he's played 474 snaps in his career at left tackle. 1,800 for his career, but all of 2020, he was exclusively a left tackle for the Titans. It's not like, this is not to make it sound like they're not losing something right in Deion Dawkins, because they are, but it's not like they're activating someone off the practice squad and putting someone on Allen's blind side that's never done it before. I mean, we don't talk about Questenberry a lot. He plays some, but he's a veteran that has started in the league and has played left tackle, so it shouldn't be it shouldn't be a total disaster that he has to play.
Well, I'll put it this way, Joe, and you're right. This is why you sign a guy like this, right? I mean, if he can't handle the job, then you say, why did we bring a guy like this in? Because this is the situation why you have a guy who's put in all those snaps in those years at a position that's very critical that you can turn to in a situation like this. It really is kind of like having a veteran backup quarterback that you can turn to if something were to happen to your starting quarterback for a game or two, and you say, hey, we can get by, just do your job. That's why you have a David Questenberry on the roster. So yeah, if it is going to be David Questenberry, which I think, you know, would likely match up here, then, you know, you expect him to do a base level type of job to get you through the game and not have any issues. Is there a possibility that Matthew Judon is on him and beats him for a sack? Sure, that can always happen. That can happen to Deion Dawkins. But like you said, what you don't want and what you don't think is going to happen, you go out there and you say, oh my God, like this is just not going well. This is a disaster. That's why a guy like that is on your roster.
So, go ahead.
Judon, by the way, leads the league in sacks with 13. I mean, do we remember how he would have done against the Bills last year at all? Like that win game, he had a couple of plays, didn't he?
So I can look up his game logs, but I'll tell you this. I've always been a big Matthew Judon fan. I remember last year going into free agency that this was a guy that I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be really good in the Bills system. You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of really kind of Lorenzo Alexander in a different way, right? Lorenzo was older when he came to the Bills, but I thought, you know what? You could fit this guy in like the Bills and Sean McDermott fit Lorenzo Alexander, move him around, use him as a chess piece. You know, I really like him. I think he has a very good game. He can play off the ball. He can play on the ball. Let's see. Going back to the game against the Bills, the very first time they played, he had two QB hits.
Okay.
He did not.
I'm remembering.
See any sacks?
The play I'm thinking of that, like, there was a play.
He did have a sack in the 14. He did have a sack in the 14-10 game. He did not have one in the game after Christmas. And then I'm looking at the playoffs last year. I don't think Josh was sacked at all in that game.
He kicked Allen or something.
He stepped on Allen's foot on purpose. Yeah. It was like a dirty play that everybody was talking about like the week after. That's what I'm thinking of. And I think, like, didn't he in the Bills get into something last year? That was it. I'm watching it now again, actually. He steps on Allen's foot, and Allen's fine, but it was a little on the line, let's say.
He also... He also had a bit of a Twitter beef with me last year.
With you?
During the offseason.
I remember this.
Yeah,
remember,
and it wasn't like, but this. It wasn't, okay, so it wasn't like personal, but this is, but here's what happened. So Matthew Judon, who I said, I'm a fan of Matthew Judon. I think he's a really terrific player. So what happened was last year during the free agency process, there were a couple times where Patriots just, remember when the Patriots just were not getting guys? Like everybody's like, oh, the Patriots are in on this guy. Didn't get him. Patriots are in on this guy. Didn't get him. And we're all like, okay, that's because you don't have Tom Brady. Like, it's not that easy anymore. Everybody's just not lining up to go play with the New England Patriots. So he had tweeted out something along the lines of, you know, man, you know, something about being frustrated that someone didn't sign. And I basically quote tweeted him. Instead of taking a screenshot like I should have, I quote tweeted him. I'm like, yeah, it's not that easy without Tom Brady anymore, is it? And he responded to me and said, I never played with him. I wouldn't know, so buzz off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, of course, Patriots fans just came at me like crazy. But I was trying to make the point. It wasn't really against Matthew Judon. I was trying to make the point of the overall picture, which was what I said. Hey, when you don't have Tom Brady, not everybody's just lining up to play with you anymore. They were a middling team last year, and this is what it's like to be a regular NFL team like everybody else in the league, which is what the Patriots basically are now.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We had a caller that just dropped off. Sorry, David, I was going to get to your call. He wanted to talk about two things. One, he was going to bring up Frank Reich's name, which we don't have to get into that, but we can talk about Ken Dorsey. You know, Sal, it might be a little unfair, or it might be right, I'm not quite sure, to talk about this matchup as one that I need to see the offense, and we want to see the offense look good. Because if there's any team that they have looked good against, I mean, there are two, really, the Dolphins and the Patriots in the last couple of years, this offense has had no problem scoring points on the Dolphins and the Patriots. And if they don't look right against New England tonight, I just feel like it's another check in the boxes towards, like, something isn't right. They're still searching for answers on offense. People are going to want points tonight.
Sure. I mean, I agree with that. But you are facing the, number five defense. The Bills are sixth in the league right now in points allowed, 18.4, I think. Patriots are fifth, 18.1. Like, this is a very good defense. It's a Bill Belichick, coach defense. I understand that the past, the last couple of games, they haven't even punted. They rolled up all these points. But that doesn't guarantee anything for tonight. It's a different game, and this is going to be a tough task for the Bills. I think it's interesting. So Greg Cosell was on Ross Tucker's podcast. And obviously Greg is, very smart, watches a lot of film. He goes on One Bills Live a lot. And I just read this. I have not seen this or heard it, but I did read the quote. And Ross Tucker's podcast tweeted out this quote from Greg Cosell. And maybe you guys, maybe this is over the top, but just to put things in perspective, when you talk about Dorsey, but he's really talking about Allen. Greg Cosell says, quote, "We've become so enamored with Allen as a talent, they don't have a good O-line. They have one good receiver and a bunch of other guys. This is not a super talented offense." That's Greg Cosell breaking down the film. So I think at some point that has to come in the discussion, right? Which is,
for sure.
Well, what is Ken Dorsey working with here, right? I mean, like, well, what the expectations are where they are, I get it, but what does he really have to work with if a guy like that is saying this by watching the film every week?
And that's the other thing here. Like, I guess, Sal, the difference is that you blame GMs in the offseason, right? Because the GM can't do anything about it other than signing Odell Beckham Jr., which maybe that happens. I mean, the weapons conversation, they've chased running back. And I guess where I would get to with Dorsey would be, are they chasing running backs and bringing in a pass-catching back in James Cook and Nyheim Hines and trying to find and J.D. McKissick, right, when they tried to do that? Are they doing that because that's something that Dorsey thought he wanted and yet he's not using that? Or are they trying to just throw that towards Dorsey because for some reason it's something the Bills have identified that they want? Because the two things kind of don't match. They seem to want it a lot, and yet they don't seem to use it on the level that would indicate they've been pushing so hard for it.
I think it's a fair point. I would say, Jeremy, the way I know the way it works, I don't think that Brandon Bean is just going to go out and get players and say, here, Dorsey, here's what you have. Go work with it.
Right.
And this is what you have. I think that's a That's constant communication. That is, what do you envision your offense looking like? What kind of players do you need? You know, it's like the old, you put together a grocery list, and then the person goes out and try to, the other person goes to get the groceries, right? Remember when Bill Parcells had the famous quote when he was coaching, the Patriots at the time, when he said, they want you to cook the meal, then they should let you shop for the groceries. That's because he wanted to be the GM and the coach, right? He wanted to do both. And I think it's kind of appropriate for this situation. And I think that's the way most teams, and especially more successful teams, operate, which is a good line of communication. Hey, what do you need? What kind of offense do you envision? Well, okay, that's what you want. Here's the options. This is what we can do. Here's free agency. Here's the draft. So I don't think they're just throwing that out at him. So I think that gets more on the offensive coordinator, to your point, which is, if you're going to have these guys and you say you want to use them, how are you using them? But I'll go back to, well, let's say, is the offensive line doing a good enough job? Are these guys getting open enough? Is there enough space out there? So there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, sure, certainly it's fair, I think, that if the offensive coordinator says, look, this is what I want to do, this is my vision, and it's not working, then you have to see, well, why is that the case?
And Isaiah McKenzie is part of this conversation too, right? Like, the Bills re-sign him, and here's the opponent that he went off against, Sal, last year in the New England Patriots. And his season as a whole, like, it would be fair to label it a disappointment, wouldn't it? Like, he's gotten the opportunities, he's gotten the snaps at least, and I think we all would have been hoping for more of a role or just more production, whatever it is. If you told me he was going to be the guy that was going to play most of the snaps in the slot, I don't know. You look at the numbers, and I would have been hoping for a lot more from Isaiah McKenzie this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think especially because it kind of seemed like that's the way it was going during training camp, that what we saw and what we were told, right? That this is, I mean, remember, there were days where we had lots of fantasy people, like national fantasy people, like paying attention and saying, look what's going on in Buffalo. Look what Josh Allen's saying about Isaiah McKenzie. You know what I mean? Like, people talked about his role and what it could be. It is wild to think about. He is now already, last year he had 26 total targets. He's already at 45. He's had more targets already through 10 games this year than he's ever had in his career. He's had more receptions through 10 games than he's ever had in his career. I'm sorry, he tied. He had in 2020, he had 30 receptions. He has 30 receptions this year. He has more receiving yardage. But all that said, I still think there's more there that we all expected him to have and have a bigger role simply because of this offense, what it can bring, the quarterback they have, what they've done the last few years, and what that position specifically has brought with a guy like Cole Beasley. And I still think, like, I think this team is missing Jamison Crowder. I know he wasn't great necessarily when he played. I think they need a guy like that still, who's reliable, who can sit down in the zone. But Isaiah McKenzie still, to me, can be a useful player in a lot of ways, and they need to try and figure out maybe how to get him open a little bit better, how to do some things to get him the ball. And last week, hey, 96 yards receiving last week. That was a nice day for him. I mean, he was a contributor on offense, and I think you'd like to see that a little bit more.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. What else? What else? What do we not cover? Ed Oliver's defensive player of the week, right? Like, that was a nice little nod for him.
It was. Maybe in the last couple minutes, if you want to talk about, obviously, yesterday while I was on the air with Joe, I reported that the Bills have restructured Tre'Davious White's contract.
Yes, and you were very, very clear to say this does not mean they're signing Odell Beckham. And as I was listening at home, I thought, okay, so you're telling me they're signing Odell Beckham? Like, so it does.
Well,
not,
I will tell you this.
It doesn't mean that.
It doesn't mean that. And here's actual more proof that it doesn't mean that. It also doesn't mean they're not signing him, by the way. I mean, they could. He's going to visit. We know that. This move was made because the Bills literally could not get to the end of the season with the salary cap space they had. They had $332,000 left in salary cap space. Guys, every time a guy gets hurt and you have to replace him, you're still paying the guy. It doesn't work like, oh, he's hurt. He's off our salary cap. No. Guys on IR still get paid. Everybody gets paid. Like, that's the way the NFL works. And then if you bring a guy onto the roster, he gets paid. So you have to think about what's going to happen for the last 6 weeks of the year. They had $332,000 left in salary cap space. There's no way they could get to the end of the year. So this has been in the works. They were going to do this regardless. Okay? Obviously, Odell. I'll get to Odell in a second. Here's a little bit more proof on this. The Patriots did the same thing today. With Matthew Judon, speaking of him, the Patriots are very, very low in salary cap space. They have restructured Matthew Judon's contract, according to Field Yates. They have created $2.2 million. Essentially the exact same thing the Bills just did with Tre'Davious White, probably for the exact same reason. You know what's funny? If you go to Field Yates' Twitter account, and he says, the Patriots restructured Matthew Judon, creating $2.2 million in space. Do you know what all the replies are from Patriots fans? Does this mean we're getting Odell Beckham Jr.? That's what the page. It's really funny, right? And or saying they are getting him. As far as Odell is concerned, yeah. So this is independent of Odell. Certainly, though, if you want Odell, it's going to help, right? I mean, I'm not going to tell you it wouldn't.
You probably would.
I just know that this move would have had to have been made either way.
Sure, but it definitely would have had to have been made if they want to bring in anybody else on the roster. Like you said, 100%. like it's for flexibility. That could be for their own players. So this is just easing things for their own crunch.
That's exactly right. So, hey, we do know, though, I mean, according to Von Miller, and what did Von say yesterday? It's down to the Bills and Cowboys for Odell Beckham. Like, that's it. Like, according to Von Miller, there's two teams left here. He's going to sign with one or the other. That's what he says. We know the Bills created some space. We know he's visiting. We also know Jerry Jones really wants him. We know it's Dallas. You know, Odell might have the kind of personality that wants to, you know, be in that type of market, have that type of, what I want to call
it. Profile,
exposure.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, the Bills get a lot of exposure, too, but you know sure. What I mean. I mean, maybe that's the case. I don't know. We don't know what he's looking for. We don't know what role he's looking for, what finances he's looking for. This, hopefully, will all be settled, and we will finally know by, what, the end of this weekend? I mean, if Odell comes to Buffalo, and as Von says, well, first Von said, go meet him at the airport to people. And then he said, we're not, you know, maybe he doesn't leave. Maybe that happens. Maybe he gets on a plane, goes to Dallas, and signs with the Cowboys. But it appears as though there is still a very legitimate chance here that this could happen.
Maybe Brandon Bean sees what Ross Tucker and Greg Cosell had to say about the talent on the offense and thinks, maybe we should get some help. All right, Sal, Extra Point Show, you're doing it with Joe today?
Yep.
All right, well, we listen at 10 o'clock this
I will
morning.
Be here. Yep, Joe will be there. I'll be here. Josh Reed's going to join us at 11 o'clock to get his perspective on some things tonight as we get ready for Bills and Patriots. So, yeah, we got a lot. We got Three Dog Thursday. Joe's got sneaky starts and sits. So we still got everything going on as much as it's a Bills game day.
Very good. Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal.
Okay, guys.
He'll be on the sideline at Gillette Stadium. The Bills and Patriots tonight, 8:15. That Greg Cosell thing.
Yeah.
That should not come as that big a shock, right?
No, like when you hear him say it, it's like, okay, right. Yeah, like it almost sounds newsy because when you're hearing it from a different perspective, it's like, okay, yeah, that's right. That's right. Even though we've kind of been saying it, right? We've been saying it. Like their O-line has problems outside of Mitch Morse and Deion Dawkins. And we've been talking about the receivers all season as like, where is this number two receiver? And, where is the number three?
And off season.
So like, here's the guy that is watching all the film, and he's saying this offense is not talented around Josh Allen.
Other than Diggs.
Yep.
One receiver, one quarterback, and that's it.
A bunch of guys, basically. We have an open segment coming up?
We do.
There is not your favorite subject.
Uh-oh.
Tom Brady's future. Did you see this yesterday?
I have. I have seen some suggestions.
There's a suggestion made from a very plugged-in national reporter who used to be a Boston reporter that is saying Brady to the Patriots. Brady could return to the Patriots.
All right. I'm ready to talk about it.
All right.
I suppose. 803-0550 if you want to jump in on the Bills and Patriots and, you know, your vibe right now for this game. It's Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. Happy December 1st here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.